The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognized as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is the third time now in this lectionary run-through of the Gospel of Mark that Jesus gives us these words. Basically, the first will be last, the last will be first. If you want to be great, be a servant. Now, I imagine most of you are pretty familiar with the Gospels, pretty familiar with reading the Bible. Go home this afternoon and read the Gospel of Mark. It should take you, I don't know, maybe an hour. It's only 16 chapters. And three times, Jesus has this conversation with his disciples. How many of you are teachers or retired teachers? Yeah, there's a lot of you in this congregation. And it always cracks me up when I read this gospel. And James and John come to Jesus and say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Cindy teaches four-year-olds. Wonder how that would go over. "We want you to do whatever you ask of us." And you know, sometimes aren't we all like four-year-olds around God? We talk about this at some of our Bible studies as the picture of God as a genie in a lamp. You just rub it and you get what you want. Or God, the cosmic Santa Claus, you just write your stuff on a list and send it to the North Pole. Or Zach had a good one here, God, the cosmic vending machine. Just push A2, down it falls. "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask." And Jesus loves these disciples so much. He entertains the question again, for the third time, in this first recorded gospel that's only 16 chapters long. And Jesus says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they're like, "Well, nothing big. We want to sit at your right hand and your left when you come into your glory." That's a big ask. If they really believe Jesus is going to come into his glory, the glory of God, that's a really big ask. And Jesus answers back, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" And maybe they're thinking, "Wow, we heard about him turning water into wine. We'll drink that cup." Because when you know your teacher is bound for greatness, you wanna ride that train. They had no idea that to be at Jesus' right and his left when he came into glory would be to be a thief on a cross, condemned to die. But the other 10 overheard this conversation. And like the 4-year-olds that we all are, they started getting angry at James and John. So Jesus called them all together. Can you imagine? Maybe circle time. "Here it is, fellas. I'm not like the others. When the Gentiles have rulers, they lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants." Wow, I'm not going any further with that. "But it is not so among you. Hold these words in your heart, write them on your refrigerator." It's kind of like that phrase that says, "When they go low, we go high." "But it is not so among you." Martin Luther said it in a little different way. He said, "A Christian is a free lord over all things, subject to no one. And a Christian is a ministering servant or slave in all things, subject to everyone." To follow Jesus is to drink his cup. Sometimes it involves suffering. Always it involves serving. And here's where I'm preaching to the choir, and literally the choir. Today we celebrate the ministries of this congregation. And they all involve serving. And maybe your serving is in the congregation, maybe your serving is in your vocation outside the congregation. But you all have hearts for service. When our quilters get together on Tuesday mornings, they don't know who they're making the quilts for. They just keep sewing those squares together, putting the backs on, tying the knots, and having their coffee. But they don't know who they're serving. They just know that somebody needs a warm something that will make them feel better. And they continue to serve week after week after week. our food pantry volunteers. Twice a month. They're starting to get to know who they serve. Some of them are regulars. Some people just walk in off the streets. Maybe one of the ushers wants to get that. Who calls a church at 10 o'clock? I don't know. Our ushers are here before the service every Sunday. They take turns, but they're here to greet you, to make sure you have what you need, that you're comfortable. You know, I'm always bragging on the choir, but it's because they're servants. They're not performing musicians. They come together at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning, pretty much every Sunday morning. And sometime between 8:15 and 9:15, everything that they're working on changes. What you heard this morning in their anthem was a beautiful expression of glory to God, a reminder that we come here to worship God and not our own vending machine needs. But some of them get met too. But the work, the time, the tweaking that it takes to go from an 8:15 sound to a 9:15 sound is nothing short of a miracle. Because they serve together. They listen to each other. They follow their leader. And the end product is something to the glory of God that we can all appreciate. The ladies who do, mostly ladies, hospitality for funerals here. Most of our members never see them because we don't all go to all the funerals. But man, when that group gets together, they take over the kitchen and they make sure everybody has comfort food, that it's decorated in a cheery way, that people feel welcome, and they have a place to share their stories, to grieve, and to come together to find a new normal. Our early bird ushers. Very few people know about them. You know, their names are in the newsletter. It's a thing. But Jay and Chuck take turns. They get here by 8 o'clock every Sunday morning to make sure all the doors are open, the lights are on, the place is ready for us. And then they fade into the background. They're serving God, serving you. And I could go on and on. Council and committees and volunteers and people who, for whom prayer is their primary gift. That is a service. And those of you who serve in other ways outside of the church, when you go out of your way to do a kindness to a stranger, or when you're in a serving profession, or when you're volunteering elsewhere. One of the things our new communication director just can't wrap her mind around is the number of members here who are volunteering here, who are volunteering somewhere else too. They'll say, well, I could do that, but I have to be over at Fish. Or I could do that, or I have to be over somewhere else. That a servant's heart is the whole heart. It's not just attached to one church or one service. And there's those of you who do your service so quietly, so behind the scenes that pretty much no one knows. Taking care of family members who are unable to take care of themselves anymore. Again, I want to name each one of you, but there's a lot I don't even know. This is service in Jesus' name. Remind yourself who you do this service for, because sometimes we do forget, and service becomes a burden. But it's not. It's a joy. And that's the one thing I see in this congregation more than most others, is that so much of the service that you do so joyfully. And today we celebrate all of those ministries. The Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers, lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Our service is in the name of Jesus, who came to serve and save, who finally, his glory came through the shame of the cross. His peace, his grace, his love be with you and upon you now and always. Amen.